From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Things are quiet now, but earlier today, hundreds of U.S. Marines were battling for control of a town in southern Afghanistan that's been in the hands of the Taliban for years. The Marines mounted a helicopter assault on the town before dawn today. There was also fighting in the surrounding mountains. Authorities say at least seven militants were killed. The Americans, along with Afghan and NATO troops, aim to protect voting sites around the country in advance of next week's presidential elections. President Obama is trying to put to rest what he says are scare tactics and misleading claims by opponents of his proposal to overhaul the nation's health care system. He takes his campaign on the road this week with town hall-style meetings set for Montana and Colorado. Yesterday, he was in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, as Roger Wood reports.
To a receptive audience, Mr. Obama said that he is not promoting a single-payer plan under which the federal government would cover everyone.
We historically have had a employer-based system in this country with private insurers, and for us to transition to a system like that, I believe, would be too disruptive.
But the president also said there should be a public option for uninsured Americans. Outside the high school, hundreds of demonstrators faced each other across the street to either support the president's goals or to protest any change in the nation's health care system. For NPR News, I'm Roger Wood in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
The former chief financial officer for convicted Ponzi schemer Bernard Madoff has pleaded guilty. He entered the plea as part of a cooperation deal with federal investigators, but the judge in the case sent Frank DePasquale to jail anyway. NPR's Ben Calhoun reports.
When it came to Madoff's firm, Frank DePasquale was in the inner circle. And Tuesday, in federal court in Manhattan, he pleaded guilty to 10 charges, including conspiracy, securities fraud, money laundering, and perjury. In court, DePasquale read a prepared statement saying the firm's transactions were, quote, all fake. He also apologized for his actions, saying he knew what he was doing was wrong while he was doing it. DePasquale says that includes a time in 2006 when he lied to the Securities and Exchange Commission under Madoff's direction. He faces up to 125 years in prison, though DePasquale's cooperation agreement may get him some leniency. Bernard Madoff is now serving a 150-year sentence for his multi-billion dollar Ponzi scheme. Ben Calhoun, NPR News, New York.
Iran's parliament speaker is denying allegations that protesters detained after the country's disputed presidential election were sexually assaulted by their jailers. Ali Larijani is being quoted by state television as saying the claims are totally baseless. He says a parliamentary investigation found no truth to the allegations. The charge was made by a defeated opposition candidate over the weekend. Allegations of abuse have helped fuel protests by reformers who say President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad stole the election. This is NPR News. Taiwan's military says it's found hundreds of people alive in the area around three remote villages devastated by a typhoon over the weekend. Army helicopters are ferrying survivors to safety. Efforts to find more survivors are continuing for a fourth day today. Forecasters expect a big storm in the Atlantic to get stronger. Eric Blake is with the National Hurricane Center in Miami.
It's still a long ways away from any land. It's well east of the Lesser Antilles. Maximum sustained winds near 35 miles per hour with high gusts. And we think it'll become a tropical storm during the next couple of days.
Right now, that Atlantic storm is a tropical depression, and there is another one swirling in the Pacific, some 1,500 miles southwest of Mexico's Baja California Peninsula. Indonesian police have confirmed that a suspected terrorist killed in a raid last week was not one of Southeast Asia's most notorious militants. Chad Bouchard reports from Jakarta.
DNA tests indicated a man who was shot dead during a 16-hour assault on a hideout last week was not Nordin Mohammed Top. Early reports indicated police thought Nordin had been killed in the raid. The Malaysian terror suspect has been blamed for a string of attacks since 2002, including blasts at two upscale hotels in Jakarta last month that killed nine people. Police say the man killed in the raid is another terrorist suspect, Ibrahim, a florist who had worked at both hotels and likely helped coordinate the bombings. Analysts say Nordin formed a violent splinter of the Jamaa Islamiya militant network, which has links to al-Qaeda. The failure to bring him down is a blow for security forces, which have narrowly missed capturing him several times over the last few years. For NPR News, I'm Chad Bouchard in Jakarta.
Federal Reserve policymakers are expected to leave a key interest rate at a record